Welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Don Travers. He's from AMS, and we're going to talk about driving advanced processors. Isn't that right, Don?
That's right, Alex, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about this very interesting subject.
Well, and that's exactly it. It is a very interesting subject. In fact, my column for June talks about the explosion of power into so many applications that never had power before and into subsystems that were never thought of, and not just power, but controlled power, advanced motion subsystems, advanced sensing subsystems, and that means that you need more and more advanced microcontrollers and microprocessors, and all that stuff's got to be driven, right?
That is correct. And in the space of mobile computing, we actually end up with a number of very conflicting requirements that really pose some significant challenges in doing a design with advanced processors. So when you look at a user experience with some of the mobile devices such as a tablet or a smartphone or even a netbook, one of the key criteria is battery lifetime. It is how long you can actually sit there and push a device in its most ardent applications, such as in gaming or in doing videos or even flipping pages of web pages, tends to want to consume a lot of power, because universally, everybody wants to see the changes as quickly as possible on the screen. So if you have a game, you want it to flow naturally, you want to have a lot of background, you want to have a lot of background that's changing. That takes power from the application's processor, and the more power the processor consumes, shorter the battery life. So the challenge is to what we're looking at in the market is, how do we help a design engineer solve the problem of extending battery life while not making the system so expensive and so complex that it becomes unwieldy and costly? The other areas that we're trying to work through in an applications processor, because of the complexity of the layouts that go around many of these applications processors, is both the thermal issues of having a very hot applications processor, and then power management subsystems such as a PMIC or a PMU that are supporting that applications processor, and they're generating a lot of power, dissipating a lot of power. So you get potentially hotspots in your product, in your tablet or your phone. And doing a thermal layout, what you want to try to do is minimize those hotspots. So you want to move those components that are going to be hotter away from each other. But that goes exactly opposite that what you're trying to do with power management, is trying to keep a layout as simple and as clean as possible, and having the high power points close together to make lines and tracks on the board as simple as you can, because the more power that you have, the wider the track has to be, thus the more difficult the layout.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of real issues there that you have to start thinking about from a systems level to really help a designer work through the issues. So one of the things that is taking place right now to extend battery life is that many applications processors either adjust the speed of the clock, or they turn on and off cores within the processor. So they may turn on a single core to do something like reading emails, but gaming may have 4 or 8 cores turned on. And when a user goes between reading an email to a game, or even to doing something like flipping web pages, the change in the core currents become significant. So if you start off with something that is a relatively light load reading emails, maybe the core current is down at the 1 amp range. And then as you increase the performance going to gaming, you may jump up to the 5, 10, 15 amp range very quickly. Well, if you're going to be dissipating 10 or 15 amps continuously, that's not a very long battery life.
No. So
no, that's pretty short. So what everybody is, or what most of the folks in the applications processor space is doing, are turning on and off the cores as quickly as they can. So they'll turn on a core or a set of cores for a few hundred milliseconds, do the processing, and then shut the core off. Well, that in theory works extremely well. But if you have a core current that may change 5 to 10 amps in a very short period of time, what that does is put a large transient load on the PMU, on the PMIC, that they have to absorb and keep that supply voltage within a very narrow range so the applications processor doesn't drop out. It doesn't freeze up, doesn't do something that that's unpredictable. So you want to be able to keep the voltage pretty stable. So there you end up trying to do things that will facilitate a heavy load transient while keeping the power supply voltage very constant. You know, something that's been, say, 40 millivolts variation over the entire transient. That turns out to be a pretty significant trick. But that's where many of those designers are working through when they're doing a tablet is, how do I save battery life? Then let's flip it over to the other side. Then you have the simple problem of a tablet or a smartphone or even a netbook are all being driven to being very, very thin.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get down to component sizes that are as thin as possible. So you want to get down to components that are no more than 1 millimeter or 1.2 millimeter high. So that tends to really limit a lot of the selection that you can do for passive components, inductors, capacitors, in particular around DC to DC converters.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with then a set of real orthogonal issues of managing power, being able to switch it on and off very quickly, being able to manage thermals so that you can then do a layout that is consistent with a tablet, smartphone, and get the total thickness down below 1.2 millimeters. So now you have all of these conflicting requirements, and the solutions to those are where most of us in the power management field are driving towards. So trying to solve those problems, we've come up with some unique solutions.
I was expecting you to say that, Don. So please tell us about the solutions.
Okay. So the unique solutions are separating the control and power stages so that you have in the PMIC or the PMU, you have the control, and at the power stage, or with the power stage at the pin of the processor, you can develop where that power is actually going to be delivered. So it's a point of load type of configuration. Now, having a separated external power stage is nothing new in the industry. The difference that we're bringing to the market is that instead of having multiple lines going to remote power stages, we've designed a unique IP that allows us 1.5 lines to control our power stages. So our interface between our PMIC, the control, and the power stage is one control line and a thermal feedback line. and thermal feedback being necessary so that we can protect both the processor and the power stage. But we've got a control line that is a very robust control line that sends information to the power stage and receives information back from the power stage for the control. So we can have a layout that will allow you to put the PMIC, which may have multiple LDOs, multiple DC to DCs on it, dissipate quite a bit of power, move it away from the application's processor, and only have the power stage next to the processor. That way, you separate the thermals. You also can then place the PMIC where you need to support the multiple devices, whether it be memory or radios or audio, so that you have the analog and the DC to DCs, the LDOs, where you need them. And then you can have the power to drive the core, for example, or the memory, right where you need to have the power, so that you can then minimize your layout so that now all you're running across the layout is control lines and not heavy power lines. And number two, what we can do then is by putting a control stage within the power stage, we can then up the frequency on the power stage so the DC to DC is operating at 3 megahertz. 3 megahertz provides a much higher frequency with higher currents so that you can drive the inductor size down.
Now, Don, this unfortunately is a shorter show than I would like, so why don't you tell us some of the parts that are manifesting this technology and give our audience some place where they can go to get some information.
Okay, so within AMS, we have a new family of products. It's the AS3721. That is the PMIC or PMU. And we have an AS3729, which is the power stage. They come as a chipset, and those parts are available at AMS.com. And just go into the power management section, and they'll pop right up. But they provide all of the power sequencing, and all of the supervisory and control functions you would need for an advanced processor doing application support.
Excellent, excellent, Don. So is there anything else you wanted to leave us with about this technology or these devices before we close the episode?
Basically, with these devices, you'll see as you peruse the information is that not only did we come out with these in a very small set of packages, but we've designed them for broad platform usage. So with one chunk of software, one piece of software, you can design both a smartphone, a tablet, and a netbook because it's all scalable.
Well, there you go, Don. That's very nice. I'm glad you had the time to come to our show and tell us about it.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. And I'd like to thank everybody else out there for taking the time to listen to us. We wouldn't be here without your support. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.